WAVAM Beaver Dam, a locally owned Good Karma Brand station.
Teams like the Browns, the Packers, they have no right playing in a dome. And the fact that the Browns are getting an indoor stadium, it sets me off.
Obviously.
It does.
That's right. It's time we once again get fired up and kick off the Damn Sports Show, presented by Real Sports Cards and Waupun, a show that's as honest and self-aware as their hosts, Wally Lukaczynski.
I eat and drink a lot, so I shouldn't do that as often.
And of course, we can count on Ashley to keep him in check. She just might be the biggest Taylor Swift fan at the station.
They are champagne.
Shout out Taylor Swift.
Oh, give me a break.
It's hard to tell. They cover everything. Title Town, pro, college, and high school sports around South Central Wisconsin. Even if it's the Wisconsin Badgers, for better or worse.
Talk about how bad the Badgers are. Bring the sadness. Another year that they fail to meet the Sweet 16. Another year they don't get to a bowl. It's a disaster in Camp Randall.
Catch it all on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, Daily Dodge TV, and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Happy Hump Day, South Central Wisconsin. Busy show coming up for you today as we welcome you in to the Damn Sports Show here on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV. In just a few moments, we'll welcome on the great Packers insider and good friend of ours himself. I'm going to call him that. I know he's listening right now. When we welcome him on here in a moment, I want to see if he considers me a friend. I want to imagine he does. Actually, I know you guys are best friends, so I'm just trying to get as close to you as possible so maybe it can rub off a little on me.
Yeah, Wally, sweet dreams.
Come on. We go back. I broke his back at the NFL draft. I figure that's got to be good for something, right?
Sure. Huh. I actually have the first question for Jason that I didn't tell you about. So I actually had the first question for him, then you can go.
All right, you know what? I'll allow that.
Yeah.
In just a few moments, we'll welcome him on. After that, I had a phone call a little earlier today with the head coach of the Beaver Dam softball team, Quinn Hines, ahead of the Beaver Dam softball slamboree this Saturday. And even before that, they have that big, big rivalry matchup as they try to sweep Watertown. That's been a thorn in the Beaver Dam side for the last several years. An opportunity to go up two W's on them so far this year before what feels like that inevitable run-in when we get to the postseason. And then we wrap up the show with higher or lower today. Nice. On Wednesday. Ashley will give us a little bit of a look at what that is in just a few moments. But first, we now welcome to the show the one and only Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch weekdays from 9 a.m. until noon across ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. And you can read all of his written work, which we will be asking about here in a moment, on channel3000.com. Jason, I get to at least ask how are you before I have to turn it over to Ashley here.
Well, I definitely want to get to Ashley's question. All I'm going to say, though, is that I'm echoing, is that if we were friends, you would have come to the Ashwaubenon Beaver Dam JV girls soccer game that I was at.
Mm.
I was right in your neighborhood. You know, I couldn't come on the show, but for some reason, I expected you to swing by and take in a little high-quality JV soccer. I was pretty disappointed that you were a no-show. So my question is, am I really friends with you?
Wow. You know, this kind of hurts a little.
I consider you a friend, but now I'm not so sure.
Well, you say that. We looking back, we can look at the tape from Friday. There was rumors on the street. You might be just here in person, and then apparently your job, apparently Jonathan Gannon talking means you're too good for me. And then I had to go and call a baseball game that night, which, by the way, thank God it ended by the time we were able to talk to you today, because there was a moment I didn't think it would.
I did not realize you had a game to call, so I will rescind my criticism.
Thank you.
But yeah, it was...
the game was at 7.
I got to say, a Beaver Dam... Nice. A Beaver Dam. Okay. That feels like an important piece of information.
He could have made it before.
This is unbelievable.
No, see, this is why... Dobes and I are pals. She tells the truth all the time. I would just say this. playing Beaver Dam is not the same as playing De Pere or Green Bay East. And so the hour and 35-minute lambo to the Beaver Dam soccer fields, which, by the way, the fact that they're not at the school and no one bothered to tell me that, and I had to call Wade Bates as I was wandering around the high school campus looking for the soccer field. It was a tough go for me. It was a good night for the Jaguars. They won handily, and the varsity won as well. So we are definitely friends, but I definitely like Ashley better.
Whoa! So speaking of that, Jason, have you ever seen the movie There's Something About Mary?
Yeah, I'm old. So, yeah, I think I saw it in the theater. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I watched it for the first time last night, and Brett Favre is in it, and I just had to get your thoughts. And it... Brett Favre was funny. Yes.
What?
At the end?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is. He's definitely in it. Yes.
Interesting movie. Funny movie.
He's a terrible actor.
Yeah.
Horrible actor. I mean, really, like, epically bad actor, right?
Yeah.
We can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
A terrible performance by him. Yeah, it's, I was a big fan of Cameron Diaz's work, so I enjoyed that film. But yes, Favre is terrible. And there's a few other scenes that are a little... are you old enough to be watching a movie like that?
Risqué. A little risqué, huh?
It is risqué. That is exactly the word I was looking for, Wally.
Yeah, I didn't expect
it. You should still be watching PG-13 movies, frankly.
Yeah, amen. I didn't expect it to be that risqué when I watched it.
Big fan of Cameron Diaz's work. I like that as a bookend for that point there, Jason. I'm very much in your camp, probably for different reasons. However, your producer, Jesse Nelson, has become a regular on our show as well. And yesterday, he had a take. Yes, he has. He's usually going to be Thursday, but he was Tuesday yesterday.
Geez.
Yeah.
When did this happen? I have to reevaluate my willingness to come on the program.
Whoa. Whoa, be careful here. We'll kick Jesse off. You just say the word.
That's all I want to know is that I have the power to get him booted. I don't want to boot him, but it's good to know that I take precedence.
You absolutely do. Especially because yesterday, Jason, he had a take on this program that I vehemently disagreed with, and I want your opinion. Because I brought up that the Tyrod or Tyrod, I know that he's changed it. In the public, I can't remember what we're at now. I think it's Tyrod now. However, inconsequential, getting that player on this team fired me up. I think we talked about Desmond Ridder on this program before, and I was a little lukewarm on the idea of him coming in and stepping in for a month if it came to be. Jesse goes out and says yesterday that it was more of an indictment on the belief that Jordan Love can be an elite quarterback that they went out and got Tyrod or Tyrod Taylor, opposed to it being a guy that, if you need a month, that's not going to change too much of the offense. But what are your takes? Because that really got me fired up.
Now you have to probably reconsider having him on the show with a take like that. It has nothing to do with Jordan Love other than it's, you know, other than the fact that it's good for Jordan Love. I mean, there's a couple of things that are good here, first of all, right? We start with the fact that we're talking about a guy who has missed time each of the last two seasons with injuries. And so they need someone who can fill in the way Malik Willis did at such a high level. There's no two ways about that. That is undeniable. But it's not like, oh, we're not so sure about Jordan Love being able to get the job done. That has nothing to do with it. What this is about is if he again misses time, we need somebody that doesn't stink. And you can say what you want. And I thought Desmond Ridder was going to be the guy. I thought their plan was they brought him in late last season. They got him exposed to their offense. They have him through the entire offseason. And they felt like they could do with him, maybe not to the same degree, but similarly to what they did with Malik Willis. And clearly they saw something that they're like, look, this guy's beyond our help. We can't do it. It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So they felt that they pivoted and went a different direction. I think Tyrod Taylor, gives them someone who's been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, has started games in this league, has been in this league for a long time. So if something happens to Jordan Love, they've got someone that they can believe in. At the same time, what I think it really says is now we're going to give Jordan Love the type of backup that can give him more insight than a developmental guy can, right? It's always been kind of Jordan and then another young guy. I mean, even Malik Willis had actually been in the league less time than Jordan had. And so I look at this as, you know, Aaron Rodgers talked extensively in New York two years ago about what it was like to have Tyrod Taylor as his backup and how much insight he gave and how the things he would tell him in meetings was, quote, the gospel. And the fact that now that Jordan Love's going to have that kind of insight at his beck and call, I think is a really good thing for him. Now, we were talking to Luke Getsy today, the quarterback's coach, and he said you can just tell from when Tyrod Taylor walked into the meeting. Like, he's been through whatever he's been through, 17 or 16 of these types of meetings. So he walks in, he knows how it works. He's just he knows the NFL, and I think that'll be a huge benefit to Jordan Love. But make no mistake, Jordan Love's got to stay healthy and play at a high level. And if he does both of those things, this team has a much better chance of being successful.
Well said. And one of the things we talked about yesterday, and Ashley actually brought up here on the show too, is that when you look at Taylor in time and time again and where he's gone, he's played with or he's been replaced by some of the best quarterbacks in football right now. Does that do anything that can help Jordan Love? Is that kind of inconsequential, or is there something that can be gained over having that experience with some of these other high elite quarterbacks in the league?
Yeah, I mean, look, all experience is valuable, right? Even if you fail, there's still experience that's valuable to you. So don't, you know, again, I don't know if there's a correlation between having him as your backup and him being, you know, such a difference maker for that player versus that player becoming a really good player. I would say this. I look at his track record, and I just think he gives them a unique type of insight that they didn't have previously from their other backups. And yet, you know, and look, I don't know what kind of a runner he is at this point, but he does have a little bit of a different skill set as well. So I think this all makes sense. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the season plays out and whether he actually is called upon to play. But I keep going back to this, you know, the fact that Goody, even though this is a fact, and we all knew that this was a fact, the fact that he chose to say the words out loud that Jordan has missed time each of the last 2 years, he doesn't have to say that. He can just say, well, we want to have a backup that we can count on. He doesn't, you know, the fact that he said that acknowledges that this is on his mind and that he is concerned about whether his franchise quarterback can stay healthy for an entire season because, you know, look, they lost him to the concussion last year, but they had a backup that I would continue to argue they were better off if they would have lost him and not lost Tucker Kraft and Micah Parsons just because they had such better option as a backup. I'm not saying that Malik Willis should have been the starter instead of him. I'm saying that the drop-off from Jordan Love to Malik Willis was far smaller than there was from Micah Parsons to, say, Rashawn Gary or from Tucker Kraft to Luke Musgrave.
Jason, you finally had the chance to talk to Jonathan Gannon. What were your first impressions of him, the highlights of the conversation, all that?
I assume that, I was talking to another coach about him the other day, and I'm going to choose to assume that he's very different with his players and his fellow coaches because I'm gonna assume that he was boring on purpose.
He's kind of blah.
Because, he was dull, I think, was the word that Brian Bulaga used. And I think that's probably a really good one. Like, that can't be who he is. Because, you know, coaches, you want them to be smart, you want them to be tough, you want them to be insightful, you want them to have fresh ideas, but they do also need to be good at connecting with people and engaging them. And he definitely was, you know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to believe in my own ability as an interviewer that we can get some more interesting things out of him as we move forward. But yeah, as of now, he was dare I say, the B word, boring.
Well, Jason, last question for you today. Following up, there wasn't a ton I felt like I personally learned and took away from hearing that interview with Jonathan Gannon. But the one thing that really stood out to me trying to look at it is the talk about adaptability of a defense and being able to call a playbook or call a game with the guys that you have on your team in mind. When I hear that, I kind of interpret that the defense that we see in week one might be looking very different by the time they get to the playoff, with injuries, with different movements, things like that. Is that sort of the same kind of feeling that you got out of that?
Yeah, I do. Now, I've since had some conversation with Brian Bulaga, who basically tells me that this is BS, and he's obviously got a scheme and everything else. And I said, I understand that. I mean, he's not just going in there with a blank sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I would argue that when I look at how things have kind of evolved for him, like he's been a 4-3 coach, he's been a 3-4 coach, he's put five guys on the defensive line at times. Like, I do believe him. I think he's saying it for effect that I don't have a scheme. He obviously has philosophies and beliefs and core tenets that he wants to use. But I do think he also sees it as important to be malleable and to be able to do different things based on the people you have. And so do I think that there's a lot of base concepts that, first of all, everyone runs? Like, everyone has cover two in their playbook. Everyone has quarters coverage in their playbook. Everyone has man and zone coverages in their playbook. And he does too. But I do think that he means it when he says that he wants to make sure he tailors it to the people he has. I just think he found a jarring way. Like you say in an interview, the guy had, you know, I don't, it's been a while since I interviewed for a job, but when you say something jarring to the interviewer, you better know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And him telling the story with Nick Sirianni, where Nick Sirianni says, well, you know, what scheme do you want to run? And he said, I don't have a scheme. And Sirianni was like, well, you better get one. That's memorable. So from an interviewing standpoint, that was a pretty good idea by him. But from a game planning standpoint, he better have more than that.
Jason, we appreciate the time as always. I'm just happy to know that I have a friend in you, even though you didn't come and say hello last week. And apparently I'm getting chastised for not being over there an hour early. So you know what? I'll be better. I can promise you that.
Yeah, I would hope so, because I hold my friends to a very high standard, and you definitely were below it. So let's do better next time when the Jaguars come to – I guess they'll probably come to Beaver Dam again when Sid's a junior. So you got some time.
Okay. I have a couple years to really stew on this, but we only have a couple days until we talk to you again. Jason, fired up to talk with you on Friday. Thanks, as always, for the time.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Our friend Jason Wilde – exiting the show. Fantastic as always. Make sure you listen to him on Wilde and Taus on ESPN Wisconsin in the ESPN Wisconsin app. And of course, read all of his written work on channel3000.com. It's where we got a lot of those questions about Jonathan Gannon there. Every time that he's got his info, he's writing about it. So if you want more Packers news, which I know we all do this time of year where it feels a little quiet, go out to channel3000.com and find some stuff from Jason Wilde. Ashley, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's keep diving into this Packers team, what we learned from Jonathan Gannon, what we're thinking about this quarterback position. That's all next here on the Dam Sports Show on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV.
Looking for your next great round? Tee it up at Rolling Meadows Golf Course in Fond du Lac, featuring 27 holes designed for every skill level. Whether you're chasing a personal best or just enjoying time with friends, you'll love the well-kept course, practice facilities, and relaxing clubhouse. Play 9, 18, or all 27, then unwind at the bar and grill. Rolling Meadows, more golf, more fun your way. Book your tee time today at rollingmeadowsgolfcourse.com.
There's no better time than right now to take care of yourself. Marshfield Clinic Primary Care helps you stay on track with screenings and vaccinations, or to simply connect on your overall well-being. Visit marshfieldclinic.org/primarycare.
Attention sports fans. Whether you're chasing the hottest rookie card, that next big autographed sports card, or looking for expert card services, Real Sports Cards is here for you. For everything from sports to Pokemon cards, visit the store in downtown Waupun today. Go to the Apple Store or Google Play and download the Real Sports Cards app for all the live online card breaks. Watch, collect, and win from anywhere. Real Sports Cards, where every day is opening day.
The Columbus Family Dental Mystery Player is back for the 2026 baseball season. Listen to Milwaukee Baseball every Sunday on 95.3 WBEV, and we'll announce who the mystery player of the game is. Then the following business day at 8:15 during the WBEV Morning Show, if you're the correct caller who can identify the mystery player, you'll win a pair of tickets to see a game in Milwaukee. It's the Columbus Family Dental Mystery Baseball Player of the Game, all season long on 95.3 WBEV.
Good Karma Brands is proud to be an equal opportunity employer, providing equal employment, development, and advancement opportunities to all teammates and applicants. To learn more about careers with us, please send an email to talentacquisition@goodkarmabrands.com. That's talentacquisition@goodkarmabrands.com.
Adopting a teen was more fulfilling and rewarding than we ever thought it would be. We just kind of knew from the beginning that we were family.
Visit AdoptUSKids.org to learn more. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Whether it's the Golden Beavers, the Rockets, or the Warriors, the Damn Sports Show talks about your favorite local teams on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. And it's presented by Real Sports Cards in Waupun.
If you are looking for a one-stop shop for all things sports cards, head on over to Real Sports Cards in Waupun or check out their app. Whether you're into sports cards or Pokemon, Real Sports Cards has you covered. With live break streaming right there on the app, you can grab individual cards on the go. Be a part of a group and watch for your favorite players and teams as the packs get open. Go to the Apple or Google Play Store today. Look for the orange logo and take your collection to the next level with Real Sports Cards, your local resource for all things sports cards, Pokemon cards, and more. And I believe our man Tom over there at Real Sports Cards, if I'm not mistaken, not only is he celebrating a birthday today, probably turning 35 years young, good-looking, smart man over there, he's also, I believe, on a beach down there in the Caribbean right now. So very, very happy birthday to our friend. We got a lot of friends going around right now, Ashley.
Well, I do. You don't.
That's not fair because Jason also said I was his friend. I just haven't got to the Dobes part, which is fine. I'm going to start intentionally sabotaging you. I might start sending him texts. You should have heard what Ashley was saying about it. She didn't like the Willie and Tosh today. What was that about? That's
Walter,
weird.
Do not do that. That would be so mean.
I'm just passing along. Maybe, Ashley was really critical on one of your takes today. I just want you to know as your friend, I'm looking out for you.
I have his number. I'll do it too. You can play this game.
Well, all right. It's like put the nuclear codes down. We don't need an arms race here.
It's going to happen, Walter.
It might happen. Well, I tell you what. Well, his fantastic producer, usually fantastic until he comes on our program, and he starts talking about Jordan Love. Ashley, before we dive too much into this, I have a couple questions, follow-ups here. When you look at Jordan Love, the quarterback,
yeah,
you think about like tier one quarterbacks in the NFL, the elite of the elite guys. You think of Joe Burrow. You think of Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. For me, that's where that tier one stops. But I think that Jordan Love is very much a part of tier two.
Yeah.
Is that where you would initially at least say he's an upper echelon quarterback in the league?
Yeah, I think he's tier two. I think what ultimately puts those guys in tier one, which is why I don't agree with Joe Burrow being in tier one or tier one.
Ooh.
I know.
We're about to take some swings at each other, huh?
Yeah. I just think that in order to be in tier one, you need to have led your team to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl.
Well, so Trent Dilfer with the 2000 Ravens. Let's think of a couple others.
Joe Flacco in
2012 with the Ravens.
Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl, though.
He did. Sam Darnold last year with the Seattle Seahawks. Is he therefore tier one just because he won a Super Bowl because
his team
is loaded?
I'm not saying just because. I'm saying when you have the support around, I feel like it's hard. I don't know. I feel like it's hard to put Joe Burrow is not the topic of this conversation, but I feel like it's hard to put Jordan Love in there right now because we haven't been able to get past that wild card.
Yeah,
we haven't been able to make a run deep in the playoffs, it feels like.
Well, and I get partial pushback, too. When you look back even at that San Francisco 49ers game about 3 or 4 years ago now where it's that rainy day out there in a big bell bottom of Levi's Stadium in San Francisco, and he throws that crossbody pick to end the game. It's like those kind of decisions where I'm a little bit more inclined to, again, push him to tier two, even if you were saying top of tier three, I'm not going to fight you too much. The tier one guys, and that's why it doesn't matter, we won't get into it, but guys like Joe Burrow, for me, if they are playing with a team that has you, myself, Charlie Dern, Wade Bates, and Sherry Sackett on the offensive line, and they're still able to get to the Super Bowl, you win because of guys like that. Where Jordan Love, I feel like you win with him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that Jordan Love has the ability to become the you win because of him. I just don't know if he's there yet. And I think that, I mean, to be fair, this is only his, what year is this for him?
He sat those several years before. I bet that year seven, I would guess.
Yeah, but what year starting?
This will be year four, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I think getting him to where he is right now, only being in year four, I feel like it's a pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he, at this point, again, I'm not, this is where we're actually very high on Jordan Love. I think some people have him a little bit closer to league average. I disagree with that. I think his
100%.
Yeah, his ability even to extend plays with his legs at this point, I feel like he's become more of a cerebral passer too over the last couple of years. The question then becomes, if regardless if it's tier one, tier two, top of tier three, he needs to be a guy that is able to be on the football field for large stretches of the season. Injuries happen to everybody. I understand that missing a game or two here and there, that's kind of the new normal when you look at NFL quarterbacks. Guys like Jordan Love, if he's continuing to miss six, seven, hand signal here for people listening on radio, it's 6 or 7 games a year, you need to have a guy like Tyrod Taylor that is able to come in and keep the offense looking the same. It might not be that same level, but you need to be able to call the same game. Where last year, even with Malik Willis, it kind of felt like they catered to him. Where I don't think you're going to have to do that with a guy like Taylor, who's proven time and time again that he can be a still high-level passer. And even in this later stage of his career, he's also going to be able to extend some plays a couple times a game, and that's all you can ask for with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, you're not expecting this guy to, you know, become an MVP of a Super Bowl by any means. You
see, well, I mean, we'll take the Nick Foles route. We'll take
it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to complain if we get that. But I think that you just have to be able to he has to be able to do an adequate enough job to keep them at the level that they're playing at.
Well, right now, that's at least a hope. So we're hoping when we get Jesse Nelson on and keep him on through the fall next year, we can have him eating just a little bit of crow.
I agree.
Get the salt and pepper ready. That's all I want.
What? Who would season crow with salt and pepper?
Well, if you were going to eat a crow, how would you prepare it? That's the real question.
Ooh, that's actually. I feel like I would have to. You'd have to like fry it and then put it in a lot of sauce.
Well, they say if you eat a crow, you're eating souls. I'm pretty sure I'm not making that up right now.
You probably. This is what I'm talking about with you and your sayings. Well, Wally has the most, like, outrageous sayings, metaphors. He had one this morning. Do you remember what it was?
Were we on the show? What were we doing?
Yes, we were on the show talking about shotgun.
Oh, God. What did I say?
I don't know. You said something about being the older sibling. And Wally just comes out with these metaphors.
Well, it's our right.
Yeah, no, but it wasn't that. But, well, yeah, anyways, Wally, just outrageous metaphors and sayings.
You got to paint a picture. And I'm just trying to find out. So I'm pulling it up right now. The idea of somebody who shot a crow back in 1812 was forced to eat it to survive and it made him feel humiliated. I don't know why that has anything to do with it. While crows are associated with bad omens or death in some contexts, eat crow. I don't know. Maybe I made that up. So you know what? If I did,
crow tastes bad.
You know what? I'm going to report back on this tomorrow after I have time
crow?
To look.
Oh.
Because I'm pretty sure this is one of those things. Like back in the day, they would see like, hey, if you ate this crow like it like harbors like these human spirits or something like that. I don't know. I'll dive in. I'll get you an answer tomorrow.
Okay, fair. Let's go to break.
All right, fair enough. When we come back, we're going to hear from head coach of the Beaver Dam softball team, Quinn Hines, as the Golden Beavers have won three straight games, including back-to-back these last couple days. That's next here on the Dam Sports Show on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV.
This is Eli Wilkie, operations coordinator of the Badgers men's basketball team.
And you're listening to 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
Partner your business with the most famous four letters in sports, ESPN. For more information, click on the Contact Us tab at DailyDodge.com.
From the Daily Dodge News Center, I'm Terry Bell. People in Wisconsin are paying more than ever before for diesel fuel. The average price, $5.71 a gallon. State and federal teams are now surveying recent severe storm damage in Jefferson, Washington, and Winnebago counties. That'll help decide if Wisconsin qualifies for federal disaster aid. Wisconsin will get a share of $700 million that Google is paying to several states. Most of the money will go to people who made purchases on Google Play. The state of Wisconsin is sending more than $2.6 million to local road projects. Beaver Dam is getting almost $900,000 to fix up Madison Street. Three area nonprofits will vie for a $7,500 grant at next week's Giving 100 event in Beaver Dam. They are Playground Movement, the Food Forest, the Dodge County Pregnancy Support Center, and Church Health Services. From the Daily Dodge News Center, I'm Terry Bell.
Your home for Beaver Dam High School Golden Beaver Athletics is Daily Dodge TV and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
So many great things come from summer in Wisconsin. Sunshine, fairways, and a chance to make a real difference. Join Good Karma Brands on Friday, June 5th for the Good Karma Brands John Moser Children's Radiothon for the Kids Golf Outing at Beaver Dam Country Club, a day where every swing supports kids who need it most. Check-in begins at 8 a.m. with a shotgun start at 9 a.m. Grab your foursome for just $350, including two carts and lunch for four. After your round, stick around for food, snacks, raffles, scratch-offs, and plenty of chances to win big, including 50-50 raffles, where 10 bucks gets you 10 tickets. Not a golfer? No problem. Whole sponsorships are available and make a huge impact. The deadline to register is May 15th. Get all the details and sign up now at DailyDodge.com. Every dollar raised benefits the 2026 Good Karma Brands John Moser Children's Radiothon. Because this day isn't just about golf, it's for the kids.
Stay tuned to the Dam Sports Show, brought to you by Real Sports Cards in Waupun. Get the inside look at Beaver Dam High School athletics, weekdays at 4 on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
Beaver Dam baseball and Beaver Dam softball were in action last night. Before we get to Quinn Hines and a little bit of a recap of this last week, but also looking ahead to a very exciting weekend or a couple days on Friday and Saturday, where the Beaver Dam softball team is going to be on Daily Dodge TV three straight times from, Friday at 5 o'clock, we'll have them hosting their rival Watertown. And then on Saturday, they have a couple matchups in the Beaver Dam softball Slamboree. Very excited to be out there. Eight softball games right there on both of those diamonds. It's going to be a great opportunity to see. The Beaver Dam baseball team, they're in a little bit of a slump right now. They lost last night 7-0 to Wanakee. Only got two hits in that game. And right now, after that loss, they're still in a position where they're sitting right up there at the very top of the Badger Large. And it just turns into that gut check time, where at this time of year, yeah, school year's ending. Practices are a lot. You start mixing all together. Now you have seniors who are looking ahead to the future, too. It's time to really get that look in the mirror and get that fight going again. And they're going to also be on Friday as well, and we'll make sure we preview that and recap this upcoming week and this last week here over the next couple days. But first now, we'll throw it over to Quinn Hines, the head coach of the Beaver Dam softball team, before a very busy stretch. And now we're joined by a very special guest, the head coach of the Golden Beavers softball team, head coach Quinn Hines. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Wally. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, coach. And I figure you're probably pretty excited, too, coming off last week where your team did set or have a couple setbacks, but you've seen them respond really well, getting three straight wins now, and the offense is coming alive. What really went into this response after last week?
Yeah, well, I mean, just a lot of grit and determination and kids, you know, digging deep and, you know, being resilient. We've played a lot of games in the last couple of weeks. I think it's something crazy, like 15 games in 20 days or something like that. And that's tough because you've got a lot of kids that you got to get a lot of innings pitched, and a lot of the other teams in the area aren't playing as many games as we play, so they're getting more rest and, you know, not having to go as deep into their pitching staff as we have. But, you know, we had a couple setbacks. The offense has been really steady, and that's been something we've been counting on all year. But the pitchers have really dug deep and getting crucial outs for us. The defense has stepped up in important spots. So I think when you get a setback or two and just being able to respond and come back and have some really good efforts, it's really kind of helped settle everybody down. But we're back in the thick of the conference race. So, you know, I'm just really proud of their resiliency.
Well, and one of those conference faces is a very familiar face that you are going to be facing on Friday night. It's the Watertown Goslings. And I know this has been a very tightly contested series this last few years, and it may be banged up right now, but that's a very formidable side. What's the emphasis or the point of emphasis going into Friday to make sure you come out on top again?
Well, I mean, every time you're playing them, they're a very good program, so you're always just trying to play a clean game. You know, you got to pitch well, you got to play good defense, you got to turn outs into outs, and you're not trying to do anything special except just stay competitive at bats. I mean, they have great pitching. Callie's a great pitcher. We've had some close games in the last couple years. If you look back to last year, a lot of those games were 1-0 for a good majority of the game. And a lot of the times it's who's going to blink first, who's going to make the first mistake in the field, and then who capitalizes on that. So that's kind of how the series has gone. Obviously, I feel both teams are, you know, very well coached and just, you know, they play really hard. They've both got good offenses and good pitching, and they're good, solid rosters all up and down. So a lot of times both teams are ready to go for these matchups, and it's a little extra behind it. So I feel like, you know, it's just going to be another one of those gritty games, and you're just grinding through the outs in every inning. And every game you play them is a big game, so it makes it more fun. It's a little more special. Obviously, we got them the last time, but they've gotten us before too. So there's just a little it's a lot of fun. It's a good rivalry.
Well, and speaking of it, it's going to be an emotional Friday when you have a high-profile rival like that coming into your building, but then you don't really get that much of a breather. The next day, you have the Beaver Dam softball Slamboree, and Beaver Dam has a doubleheader. Before we actually look at those two games here in a moment, for people that are a little unfamiliar with what the Slamboree is, can you explain what people can come out and witness themselves this Saturday?
Yeah, we're going to have some of the best teams in the state coming to our place on Saturday. We expanded it. In the past, it's been just a little three or four team round robin, and now we've got eight teams coming in, eight different programs, including some of the top-ranked teams in the state. So in the morning, you know, you're going to get a full day of softball. Muskegon will be here in the morning. They're undefeated and ranked number two in the state. They're one of the top teams. Wisconsin Lutheran is one of the top teams in the state. We've got Verona coming in, who's, I think, like 11-2 at this point. Slinger has some really nice talent. Conemaugh, Waterford, and Adams Friendship are coming in as well. So all of those teams are in the top third of their conference or ranked in the top 10 in the state. So we're looking for a really good day of high-profile softball and kind of get them to our facilities and, you know, show off the new field a little bit and let some teams play on it. But also, like, it should be a great day of really high-profile softball.
Well, and people should be coming out to this, but for whatever reason, if you're not able to, you'll be able to see all the games taking place on that brand new, beautiful facility. That's going to be on Daily Dodge TV. And the last two that we'll have on Daily Dodge TV involves your Golden Beavers and a couple of those teams you just talked about, Oconomowoc and Waterford. Well, this time of year, it's usually that conference where you're heating up. Having a couple games like this in non-conference, does that change your approach at all as a coach on how aggressive you do want to go against some high-level teams that you are going to be competing against?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, conference games are really important, and everybody wants to win the conference title, and you're in the thick of the race for that. But, I mean, these non-conference games are especially important for us, too. You're still playing for seeding at this point of the year. You know, we're trying to get a bye in one of the tournament races. So, you know, all the games are important, but you're also balancing that out with trying not to overwork pitchers and trying not to, you know, put too much stress on certain players and trying to get other kids opportunities and at bat. So there's kind of a lot of things you're balancing, and non-conference games allow you to do some of those things and to see what you have and try some new things that you're getting ready for tournament time. But the games are all still really important, and you get to test yourself against some of the best teams. We're going to play Oconomowoc, who's always been a solid Division I team, and then actually our second game now is going to be Adams Friendship, and they're ranked in the top five in, I think, Division III. So, you know, we're going to get to face some good teams. But it's a good challenge, and especially when you're coming off of a night right after a Watertown game. So it'll be a busy weekend for us, but just more opportunities for kids to go out and play and you know, kind of prove what they've got for you.
Well, and a couple of kids that have proven what they've got this year. Wanted you to talk a little bit about Emma Jolka and Maddie Bryan, who were both selected for the Wisconsin Fast Pitch Coaches Association All-Star teams. Can you tell us a little bit about what these two girls have meant to your program?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to put into words what they mean. Obviously, they're both really good talent. They've both been all-conference first-team players in their careers. Emma's having an incredible year. She's hitting like 650 right now, getting on base at about a 680 clip.
Not bad.
You know, that's insane. And then not only that, but she's lights out pitching. Her ERA's under 3, you know, and she's gutting through it. So, you know, she's been a really important piece to what we've done this year, kind of been a leader to everything that we've done. And then, you know, Maddie has stepped up big time, too. Maddie always plays a great center field. Defensively, I would say that I would have a hard time finding a better defensive center fielder in the conference. Her offensive statistics aren't as good as they've been her last couple years, but she's having good at-bats. She's just not getting a lot of breaks. A lot of the hard-hit balls are finding gloves for her, but she's still contributing on the offensive end. And another big thing is she's had to step up and pitch a lot of innings that we knew she would pitch for us this year, but we didn't know she'd pitch the amount of innings that she's thrown. But due to team needs, that's kind of been a big thing for us. And she's been able to save us. And like last night, just grinding out a win, throwing 140 pitches, and allowing us to get a big conference win in a game that, you know, she wasn't originally scheduled to pitch. So, you know, stepping up and doing what's best for the team. Those two have kind of done everything that we can, and they're just so good in multiple areas of softball that it's been a huge key for us.
Well, Maddie Bryan was also involved. I texted you last Friday night after you got a bounce-back win last week. There was a phenomenal display of base running that I want to ask you about, where Maddie Bryant lays down a bunt that can't go more than 6 inches away from the plate. She beats out the throwing or throw from the catcher. But while that's happening, Jolie Dronick sees nobody's on third, takes third base, and in all the confusion defensively, second base isn't covered either, and Maddie Bryant takes the extra 60 feet there as well. Can you talk a little bit about the practice and what goes into what you guys try to instill day-to-day to make sure these kids are ready and have that softball IQ at the level we've seen them at?
Yeah, well, I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about situational softball and just trying to be smart in situations. And I think one of the things that we do really well is as a group or as a team, we run the bases very well. We run them pretty smart. We're aggressive. And that's kind of been the mentality that we have. But we also, we like to push the envelope a little bit when we can. You know, Maddie's a good bunter. She's probably, you know, her and Emma are probably our top two bunters. So she has the green light to kind of put a bunt down whenever she needs to. In that situation, she got a good bunt down. She's quick, so she beats it down the line. And then Joe, read the play like she's supposed to and noticed the third baseman charge it, and the pitcher didn't get over to cover. And if you watch the replay, there was no hesitation. She was breaking around second right away. And we kind of teach, once you make the read, you just got to live with what your read is. And her read was, I'm going to be able to get there. And then her taking third on that, of course, then they overcorrected, and then Maddie was able to take second because they weren't paying attention to her. And then that sets you up with a second and third for, I think, if Brooklyn was on deck, and Brooklyn's been a hot hitter lately. So now you get a single, which can score two runs instead of, you know, just moving the runners up. So smart plays like that, it's our kids just kind of believing in their reads and working really hard on that stuff and just making plays. And we're always about trying to make a play and not being afraid of what the result might be. Like, sometimes you get thrown out, but if you're aggressive and you're consistent, I think it's going to pay off more than it hurts you.
The Golden Beavers are going to be on Daily Dodge TV three different times, Friday and Saturday. First with Watertown at 4:45 this Friday night. Make sure you follow along and listen as the Golden Beavers try to stay hot. Coach, thank you so much for joining us today, and look forward to getting you more on the Damn Sports Show here down the stretch.
Anytime. I always appreciate everything that you guys do for us.
Here's a look at your weatherology forecast. A frost advisory begins at 1 a.m. tomorrow morning and remains in effect until 8 a.m. tomorrow. Lows around 33 tonight under mainly clear skies, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance of rain. Tomorrow, highs level off around 57, a mix of clouds and sun. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Currently, it's 51 degrees.
Spring cleaning isn't just for the house. Your HVAC system could use a tune-up too. JB Mechanical keeps your home comfortable all season long. Here's the forecast on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
Ashley, quick question. How does my phone know exactly what food I want before I do?
Because advertising works, Wally.
That feels powerful. A little scary, but mostly powerful.
Exactly. And local businesses in our area can have that power too. With DailyDodge.com, 95.3 WBEV Radio, YouTube, and more, businesses partner with award-winning local content that people trust. See and hear your businesses everywhere.
Everywhere, like all of our different live news and talk programming?
That's right. Right there along with interviews and including anyone from state politicians to neighborhood musicians. And that beautiful Daily Dodge TV studio you'll see can be sponsored too.
Wait, that sounds familiar. Well, anyway, what about sports fans?
Pair with 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV. Joining high school play-by-play coverage and passionate fans is a big win for branding a business.
How does someone get in on all of this?
Call 920-885-4442 or click Contact Us at DailyDodge.com.
Wow, it's that easy to start a great partnership for your business today.
Your home for the Golden Beavers, 1430 ESPN, powered by Daily Dodge.
This show's all about accountability. It's the one and only Damn Sports Show, presented by Real Sports Cards in Waupun. Live every weekday afternoon on Daily Dodge TV and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
Ooh, let this play a little while, Ashley. Here we go. Here's the hook. Can you take me higher? What do you know about Creed, Ashley Dobrzynski?
That I just could not turn it off quick enough.
What do you mean? You're not a higher fan? You're not a Creed fan?
No, I'm not a Wally taking over fan.
Oh, come on. If you're not sitting out there listening to a little Creed, getting the vocals warmed up, what are we doing here?
What are you warming your vocals up for?
So, okay, when you think of Creed,
oh, Lord.
Do you remember the iconic, I know this would have been before your time, but I feel like it goes viral on social media every single Thanksgiving. There's a game, I believe in the late 90s, either that or early 2000s in Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. And Creed has the most spectacular halftime show in the history of halftime shows. Tell me you've seen it with that song.
Walter, I'm 23.
Okay, I'm sending you the video after. You're going to have a very different... You're going to be singing with me when you watch back when we get to Higher or Lower next Wednesday.
Wow, I'm on the edge of my seat.
You should be. You will be. This is a new show, topic at least, segment here on Wednesday afternoons. Mm-hmm. Ashley, can you explain a little bit about what we are going to be doing on Wednesdays for Higher or Lower?
I'm going to give you two things, and you got to think, is it higher or lower?
It's good. It's pretty simple.
It is.
If you can't figure that out,
you can figure
we got to have another conversation.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's get going here. What is our first one today?
Is a 400-foot home run higher or lower than the height of Niagara Falls?
Well, it depends.
No, it doesn't.
It would. I mean, if you hit an absolute, like, scorched earth screamer that goes 15 feet off the ground, O'Neal Cruz.
I said 400 foot.
Okay, so we're just saying, like, the distance, is it higher or lower than the actual height of Niagara Falls? I see what you're doing here. Okay.
It's important to listen, Walter.
Well, you know, I'm whatever.
I'm kidding. I'm lashing out.
Fine. I think that Niagara Falls is going to be a hair, and I mean a hair shorter than that.
So you think a 400-foot home run is higher than the height of Niagara Falls?
I do. I'm going to guess that Niagara Falls is like 350 feet tall.
So this is crazy. Niagara Falls is 167 feet.
Yep. Sorry, I had to get the 6'7" in there?
Yes, feet.
That's it.
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know why. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls?
I have.
You but have? Like, so you've even been there,
like,
and seen it.
That doesn't seem right. Like, I'm checking. I'm double checking again. Nope. Well, I'll be damned. It is.
It's 167 feet.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That doesn't seem right. That, like, shocked me when I saw it too.
Well, especially because you consider, and I know it's because there's a lot of rocks. It's going to be because it's going to be hard to swim. There are people that, when they fall, it's like a very, very dangerous. Like, a lot of people don't survive a fall if you accidentally go down Niagara. And I just assumed it'd be like Golden Gate Bridge, which now I'm starting to wonder how tall that really is.
Oh, you want me to look it up?
Yeah, but you know what? I would love that because
how tall is the Golden Gate?
167 feet for Niagara Falls feels crazy. I would have thought, because I think it's the second tallest free flowing waterfall out there in the world.
Okay, Walter. Wait.
Uh-oh, Golden Gate Bridge discussion.
Well, here's the problem, is that it says it's 746 feet.
And you're worried if that's length or if that's height?
No, I'm worried if that's where the cars are or where the top of it is.
Look at you thinking outside the box.
I'm going to say where the cars are.
Well, that feels more like 400 feet then.
Okay, it still says 700.
Okay, all right. Well, that's a big fall, so I'll shut up. All right, so I guess Niagara Falls, kind of soft.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay, well, I was right, but by the very, it was like the right church, wrong pew.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's 167.
Puny little waterfall, easy. Nonsense. Get out of here, Buffalo.
All righty. Next one. Ooh, nope, that's stupid. Sorry.
This is great radio right now.
I know, I'm sorry. Well, some of these are like, is the number of holes in a round of golf higher or lower than the number of innings in a baseball game?
Oh, so it's like common sense.
Yeah, and so it's like, that's, come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's soft here. Get out of here with that nonsense.
Is Usain Bolt's 100-meter world record time higher or lower than the time it takes most people to run 40 yards?
I'm going to say that it's higher because I'm pretty sure Usain Bolt is right around a 9.59, I think, is the world record.
How do you know that?
I remember watching the Olympics because I think the one before that, he was at either 9.67 or 9.69.
So, yeah, his world record time is 9.58 seconds.
So I was off a second.
And it takes the average person to run 40 yards 5 seconds.
Yeah, I was just thinking because, I mean, even watching Rich Eisen, our wonderful teammate with the ESPN Network, and I watch him do his Run Rich Run in a full suit on the north side of 50 years old, and he gets it done in right around 6 seconds each year. So I had to figure the average person going to be inside that.
Yeah. Like, sorry, I'm just appalled at some of these right now, and this is probably terrible.
I can see the face getting a little upset
over
there. Well,
is the length of a marathon higher or lower than the number of letters in the alphabet?
Ooh, that's a close one, though. 26.2 to 26.
Yeah, like, oh my gosh. Duh, Wally's going to know that. Okay. Sorry, I scrolled too far. My bad.
No, you're fine. If anything, I'll have a rant on the Bears if I need to.
A rant on the okay. Is the Bucks points per game higher or lower than the average number of emails a worker gets per day?
It's got to be higher. There's no way the average worker is getting 100 plus emails a day, right?
It's actually lower.
How many?
The average number of emails a worker gets per day is 120.
Guys, if you're getting 120 emails a day, it's come on. It's time. It's time. We need to go.
Yeah.
120 emails a day. I would go nuts. I think I get 50 a day and I'm overwhelmed.
Okay. Ready for this one?
Yeah.
Is an NFL field goal success rate higher or lower than the average score people get on their first driver's test?
Ooh.
Now I yelled at ChatGPT and said, these suck.
All right, yeah, well, you got to hold it accountable. That's what we do here.
The marathon one was, and the innings in golf is astronomically bad.
I'm going to say that kickers average somewhere in the neighborhood of 80% across the league. And the first driver's test, not a big deal. I was perfect on my first ever driver's test.
First ever driver's test, you were perfect. So was the second driver's test?
No, there never was because I was so phenomenal. I literally got a perfect score.
Wow.
Perfect score.
Wow. Okay, answer the question.
Well, I'm going to say people like you out there who probably take it like 18 times.
I took it once. Thank you.
Well, surprises around. I'm going to say that it's going to be higher. The kickers are going to kick a higher percentage than people do in their first test.
The kickers actually are lower.
Whoa,
kickers
no.
Success rate is 85%.
That makes me bummed out. It makes my thing look less impressive.
86%. So like barely.
Well, that's a good one though. So hey, you obviously yelled at your AI in a well enough way that it knows what it's doing now.
Okay.
Last one.
Is the number of MLB strikeouts for a top pitcher in a season higher or lower than the number of text messages the average person sends per day?
Oh my gosh. How many texts do you think you send a day, Ashley?
I think I send a lot.
I would imagine that number is going to be... I think the average person is glued to their phone now. I think that the pitcher, what? Top pitcher is going to be around 200. I'm going to say people send 250 texts a day.
So it's actually the number of MLB strikeouts is higher than the number of text messages because the pitcher is 230, the texts 200.
Wow. Well, I guess, you know, I was going to give us credit, but 200 texts a day is still a little crazy. Put the phone down. Touch some grass, as they say.
But, Wally, you're telling me right now after this show, you're not going home and going on Twitter?
That's not a text. That's not a text.
True, true, true.
I bet you if we count our text, I bet you we're well short. I don't think I'm close to 100.
No, you're close to probably like 4. I'm close to like 100.
Yeah. I don't. Well, I hate the phone. I avoid it if possible. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today. We will be back same time, same place tomorrow with more of the Damn Sports Show. More previews as we're getting ahead to some more Beaver Dam baseball and softball action closing out the week. But again, that'll do us. Thanks for tuning along in. Homer Hour's coming up next. Have a great night, everybody.